Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. We have talked over the past year on this show about the viability of putting Stephen Colbert on at 11:30 on CBS. That is a time slot that in late night TV, at least on a network level, going back 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, has been earmarked for entertainment. On CBS for the past 20 years, it was David Letterman. So they bring Colbert in because he had this wildly successful show at 11:30 on Comedy Central, somewhere around Channel 642 on your cable box. Well, it was thought that, well, he's very popular. People like to watch him. He's funny. He's a scream. Let's put him on at 11:30. He does not do an 11:30 type of show. And the ratings have shown that. He's in third place right now. He's behind Jimmy Fallon. He's behind Jimmy Kimmel. When Leno and Letterman were on, nobody even knew that Jimmy Kimmel had a show on ABC. You could walk outside your house at 3 in the morning and just start talking, and you would reach as many people that Jimmy Kimmel was reaching during that time. But now things have changed. Colbert is very political. He is inherently political, and he's far to the left, and everybody knows that. That's what that show was over on Comedy Central. That's what The Daily Show with Jon Stewart was for all those years and is now with Trevor Noah. At 11:30 on a major network, that's hard to push because, as Johnny Carson said a long time ago, and it's true, you don't want to get political because if you do, you alienate 50% of your audience. We rarely, if ever, get political on this show. You don't know what I am politically. You don't know what Christina Stoffo is politically when you listen to the show. And so over the last couple of weeks, it seems like whenever there's some sort of tragedy, now late night television has to respond. And so we have to wring our hands and talk about it before we're allowed to go on. See, that's what's happening now. We're starting to blend political commentary and news into entertainment, and they need to be kept separate because entertainment is inherently entertainment. So Stephen Colbert comes on about a week ago, and he decides it's time to scold the media for showing one of the bombers in Turkey.
As just an aside, I would like to say something to all the news organizations out there. Is it really necessary to show us photographs or rolling video of a terrorist exploding? That really seems like advertising for someone's cause in a way that they may like. I don't think we need to see that.
All right, stop. First of all, you can hear everybody cheer. That's the new thing now on this show where you have, it sounds like, a bunch of 19-year-olds that scream and yell like the Beatles are back at the Ed Sullivan Theater whenever Colbert makes any kind of political statement. That is done for design, of course. It shows affirmation by the audience. I wonder how Stephen Colbert feels when they put up the picture of some lunatic for hours and hours and hours after he shoots up a school or shoots up a nightclub. How many times did we see the picture of Omar Mateen after the Orlando shooting at the Pulse nightclub? Maybe if people see a terrorist at work, we'll start to take the terrorist threat a little more seriously. But the fact that he has to take this opportunity to try to scold the media as if he's on this giant pedestal up there, Stephen Colbert now controls the moral direction of the American media. Really, we've gotten to that. And this all led into some stupid, ridiculous, unfunny segment about helium discoveries in Tanzania. And it was a lead-in to a comedy bit. And how can you make that transition from sitting there and wringing your hands as the moral compass of the world and telling the world how they're supposed to feel about everything, and then just doing some really unfunny stuff? Did you hear the other thing going on this show? About 2 weeks ago, they were supposedly advertising a job position for writers. So you literally had to write for free all of this stuff, jokes, skits, everything else, and send it in. And then maybe they would call you. Well, the Writers Guild of America should have gotten pretty upset with this because they were simply just asking people for free material as they're trying to kind of turn this thing around. I mean, this is the Titanic with the iceberg firmly in sight, and they're doing anything they can to save this. And if they're deciding that they're going to go political and have him become this moral compass of the left and of the media, is that going to save this thing? I don't think so. I think they made a major mistake by putting this guy on at 11:30. Is he talented? Yes. Does he belong at 11:30? No. CBS has an option. James Corden is a scream. He's funny. He's inventive. He's young. and he'll bring an audience to 11:30 that will work for CBS. Corden just has a better idea as to what that show should be at 11:30. And I wouldn't be surprised at some point to see CBS either flip-flop them or see Stephen Colbert somehow be given a very graceful exit and back he goes to cable TV where he can do whatever he wants and appeal to his niche audience, because that's all he's got. He's not a broad-based guy. If you agree with him politically, he's hysterical. If you don't agree with him politically, he's a hack. Take your pick and go watch Fallon. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Diane had just paid her fare on a city bus and was beginning to sit down when it pulled away from the curb. She fell and hurt her back, so she sued the city for her pain and injuries. But in court, the city proved that the bus was operating in a safe manner because the driver did not swerve dangerously away from the curb. Who do you think won this case? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Although it was proven that the driver didn't swerve dangerously, it is still the driver's duty to wait until Diane had a chance to sit down before moving the bus. Diane won, and that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So does your child like to be tickled? Well, it can do wondrous bonding things. Here's what a physiological tickle is and the science of it. First, a tickle is any attempt to defend the body's vulnerable parts, and you can't tickle yourself. Well, maybe a little. Second, only when the tickler is perceived as harmless will a person enjoy a tickle. What's the cheap psychological trick? When you tickle your child, they trust you. They believe you. They believe you will not harm them. They are surrendering themselves to you. They laugh because they love you. Between parent and child, this is an inviolate trust. Do it right, and it can facilitate a lifetime of love and bonding. Do it wrong, cross the line, and a simple tickle can turn into a lifetime of separation. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.